Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajevam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanitamscha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagarpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu State Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Baye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today we're going to begin the 13th chapter, which is entitled Nature, the Jaya, and Consciousness. Before we go into the 13th chapter, let us look at the connection between the 12th chapter and the 13th chapter.
那么在我们一起学习第13章之前, 让我们来看一看第12章和13章之间的说明。
If we turn back to the 12th chapter in the text number 7,
那么我们回到第12章的第7世节,
Krishna has stated in the seventh chapter, Krishna has said, he said, O son of Prita, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death.
在第12章的第6到7世节当中, Krishna 对 Arjuna 说, O Prita 之子啊, 对于这样的人, 我是拯救他们脱离生死苦海的救主。
So Krishna has promised to deliver devotees.
所以Krishna在这里承诺了他会拯救他的奉献者。
And we're going to hear, therefore, in this chapter, and in the rest of the Bhagavad Gita, right to the end, Lord Krishna is going to explain exactly, he's going to explain knowledge which will help us to be delivered from the ocean of birth and death.
那么从这里开始一直到Bhagavad-gita结束, Krishna就会向我们解释他怎么样去把他的奉献者从这个生死苦海当中解救出来。
Especially in the first 6 chapters, Lord Krishna had explained how by working with proper knowledge we can come to devotion.
那么在头第6章, Krishna解释了我们怎么样通过恰当的知识去工作，为他从事奉献服务。
And then at the end of the 6th chapter, he had explained that devotional service is the highest type of work.
那么在后面的6章里面, Krishna就解释了奉献服务是最高尚的，是最高的境界。
Then in this, from chapter 7 up to chapter 12, Lord Krishna explained about himself.
那么从第7章到第12章, Krishna解释了关于他自己的知识。
He explained about his different energies.
他解释了这个躯体和能量的区别。
He explained about his impersonal or pervading feature, his universal form.
然后他解释了这个非人格的一面，还有这个宇宙形体。
And he explained the glories of devotional service.
然后他解释了奉献服务的荣耀。
So this 13th chapter is beginning this section teaching us the knowledge which we need to take up devotional service.
那么从第13章开始就解释了我们在从事奉献服务当中应该需要的知识。
In this 13th chapter, we're going to hear how the living entity becomes entangled in the modes of material nature.
在这第13章中我们会去了解芸芸众生是怎么样被束缚在这个物质能量之中的。
And then in 14th chapter we'll explain more about the modes of nature.
那么关于第14章呢就会解释关于这个物质自然三形态，更多的去解释物质自然三形态。
So this 13th chapter begins with Arjuna asking a question.
第13章一开始 就是以阿朱呢向 Krishna 询问问题 为开始的。
He wants to know what is Prakriti and Purusha.
那么他想，阿朱呢想知道什么是 Prakriti 和 Purusha， 是什么是自然和享受者。
Yeah. Prakriti means material nature.
Prakriti 的意思是物质自然。
And Purusha means the enjoyer.
那 Purusha 的意思是享受者。
If you go to India, in India, in Indian language, the word for the man is Purusha.
那如果你去印度的话，那么在印度人们称男人就为 Purusha。
The man is considered the enjoyer.
男人呢被认为是享受者。
But here in the, we will learn a more, we will learn a higher meaning of this word, Purusha.
但是在这里我们会去学习到掌握到关于这个 Purusha 更高的知识。
We have heard about Purushas before, that there are Purusha avatars.
我们在以前听说过有 Purusha avatar, Purusha 享受者化身。
There is Arano Dakashayi Vishnu, Garbo Dakashayi Vishnu, Shiro Dakashayi Vishnu, they are all considered Purusha avatars.
那么这个享受者化身呢，就是那三个 Vishnu， 一个是元婴之阳 Vishnu， 牛奶之阳 Vishnu 和印蛋之阳 Vishnu。
They are responsible for creating this material world.
他们三个 Vishnu 都是负责创造这个宇宙。
So Arjuna wants to know what is Prakriti and what is Purusha.
所以 Arjuna 想了解什么是 Prakriti 自然物质自然，什么是 Purusha 享受者。
And then he wants to know what is Kshetra, what is the field, and what is Kshetragyam, Kshetragya, the knower of the field.
那么 Arjuna 接着还想知道什么是 Kshetra 场，什么是 Kshetragya 场的知悉者。
The field and the knower of the field.
那么他想去知道这个场和场的知悉者是什么。
The field means this body.
那场是指的这个身体。
Just like if you have some land and you have a field somewhere, then, you know, if you plant some beans, then you will get some beans.
就像是你去种树。你 种一些豆角，你就会得到这个豆角。
And if you plant some melon, you will get some melon.
如果你要种一些瓜，你会得瓜，就是种豆得豆，种瓜得瓜。
对。But how many beans and how many melons you get will depend on the quality of the land.
那么你种多少豆得多少豆，种多少瓜得多少瓜的，是取决于这个土地的质量。
Some land will be very good and produce a lot, and other lands will be very bad and not give much.
有一些土地呢很肥沃，所以它能够产出大量的这个豆或者是瓜。但是有些土地非常贫瘠，它就不能够产生那么多谷物。
We know that if you're in the south and you plant try to grow corn, baomi, if you try to, then it doesn't grow very good, not like up in Dongbei.
那如果你去南方种一些玉米，种一些高粱的话，那肯定是不会长出来的，因为它是生长在东北的这种植物，北方的植物。
So different lands have and different climates are more suitable for different things.
所以呢，不同的土地它就适合生长出不同的，生产出不同的东西出来。
So different bodies also have their limitations.
所以呢，不同的身体也有它们不同的局限。
Some bodies are very good for hard work.
那有的一些身体呢，它能够做一些辛苦的劳动。
You know, somebody is very strong, powerful. He can work very hard.
那有些人他的身体非常强壮，他就能够做很多的苦力劳力。
And other people, their body, they're much more inclined to study and read books and do research.
那有些人的身体呢，他适合于读大量的书籍，做大量的这种研究工作。
So everyone works according to their capacity, according to the nature of that body.
所以每个人呢都根据自己的能力，根据这个躯体的能力，根据这个躯体的性质去活动。
And we see this in the case of animals, like some animals, like the elephant is very strong, can pull heavy things.
就像我们可以看到有些动物非常强壮，例如大象，它很有力量。
The camel can be very effective in the desert.
那个骆驼呢？它能够特别的耐旱，它能够生活在沙漠里。
In China, maybe they use more the water buffalo.
有些人呢，在中国会用一些水牛。
So different animals, they also have their capacities for different things.
所以呢，不同的动物也有做不同事情的能力。
Everything is according to the field, according to this body, the field of activity.
所以呢，一切都是要根据这个场，活动场。
So, in Sanskrit, the word for this field of activity is kshetra.
所以呢，在梵文当中，这个场，活动场被称为 kshetra.
And within this body, there's the knower of the field.
那么在这个躯体当中呢，就是这个躯体的知悉者。
It's called kshetrajna.
它被称为 kshetrajna.
So, within the body,There's not just one knower, but there are two knowers.
但是在身体当中呢，不仅仅只有一个躯体的知悉者，而是有两个。
So Arjuna wants to know clearly about this.
所以呢 ，Arjuna 想清楚的知道这一个场和场地的知悉者。
So he also wants to know about two more things.
而且他还想知道更多的知识。
He wants to know about jnanam and jnanam.
他想知道 jnana 知识和 jnana。
Yeah, jnanam, the object of knowledge. Jnanam is knowledge, and jnanam is the object of knowledge.
那么他想知道什么是 jnana 知识，什么是 jnanam 什么是知识的对象。
Jnanam and jnanam.
Jnana 和 jnanam.
Knowledge and the object of knowledge.
那 jnana 是知识。耶养是知识的对象。
So, Krishna first of all answers. He will explain first of all what is kshetra and what is kshetrajna.
那 Krishna 一开始呢就回答了 Arjuna 的这个问题：什么是 kshetra？ 什么是活动场？什么是 kshetrajna？ 什么是活动场的知悉者？
Krishna is answering the easiest part first.
那么 Krishna 呢首先的就回答了这个问题。
If he answered what is Prakriti and Purush, that is more complicated. That will come later.
因为如果一开始就回答什么是物质自然和享受者，那么像这样的问题一开始就很复杂。
So he first of all answers what is Kshetra, what is the field of activities, and who is the knower of the field, Kshetrajna.
所以呢 ，Krishna 一开始他回答的问题是什么是场地。什么是躯体的知什么是躯体的知悉者，活动的知悉者。
So then you can read this that verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "This body, O son of Kunti, is called the field, and one who knows this body is called the knower of the field."
我们可以看到 Krishna 在这一个世界里回答的，至尊一个守神答道：“昆提之子呀，这个躯体称为场，知。”悉觉躯体的人称为场地认知者。
So sometimes people think that this body is simply made of chemicals, that there is no soul.
但有些人认为这个物质躯体只不过是一些物质元素组成的，没有这个躯体当中没有灵魂。
But here in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna does not accept.
但是呢，在这里我们可以看到 ，Krishna 在《不加梵歌》里说不是这么去接受这样的认为的。
Within this body, there is consciousness.
在这个躯体当中有知觉。
And this consciousness comes from the soul.
而这种知觉呢，就是来源于灵魂。
The soul enters into the body and gives life to the body.
灵魂进入躯体，给予这个躯体活力。
The soul is the knower of the body.
灵魂是躯体的知悉者。
body is simply the, like the machine. Here it's called the field of activities.
那么这个躯体呢，就像是机器一样，在这里呢，躯体被称为场，活动场。
So、later on, Krishna compares it, the body to a machine.
那么我们可以看到 Krishna 他把这个躯体比作为机器。
This body is made up of what is the body? This body is made up of senses.
那么这个躯体是什么呢？这个躯体它是由感官组成的。
Perform our bodies. We use our body to perform different activities.
我们通过这个躯体，我们用这个躯体去从事各种活动。
Krishna is going to explain about all of these different activities.
那么 Krishna 呢，他会解释各种各样的活动。
You could read that the last paragraph of this first purport、
yes.
in the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita.
我们现在读这个要旨的最后一段，国家梵歌头六章已描述了任时长者生物，生物赖以了解至尊主的地位。国家梵歌的中间六章则描述了至尊歌手神和个体灵魂以奉献服务跟超灵建立的关系，这些章节也明确的为了至尊歌手神的至高地位和个体灵魂的从属地位下了定义。在一切情况中，生物都是从属的，但由于他们遗忘一切，所以深陷痛苦之中，受了千层活动的启迪，他们以不同的资格接近至尊主。他们可能在失望中，可能需要金钱，可能要寻根究底，也可能追求知识，这些都谈到了。现在由第十三章开始，则说明生物如何跟物质自然接触，以及至尊主如何以功利性活动、培养知识和做奉献服务等不同的方法拯救生物。虽然生物跟物质躯体完全不同，但不知怎地却跟物质躯体发生了关系，这也会说明。
So Lord Krishna is going to explain to us how the living entity gets entangled in this material body.
所以呢，我们可以知道 Krishna 他就准备解释物质生物是如何受到这个物质被束缚在这个物质世界的。
And also how Krishna delivers the living entity.
而且还会解释 Krishna 怎么样去拯救生物体。
Through different processes such as Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga.
就像通过不同的不同的方式 ，Prama Yoga, Jnana Yoga 和 Bhakti Yoga.
We'll go on to the third verse.
我们现在读第三十节。
Yeah.
Bharata 的后裔呀，你该了解。我也是在一切躯体之内的知者，对躯体和躯体知者的了解称为知识，这就是我的意见。
So Krishna is describing what is knowledge.
所以 Krishna 在这里解释了什么是知识。
He says that one who can understand this body and its knower has knowledge.
那么 Krishna 解释说，谁了解躯体和躯体的知者，就被称为知识。
There is material knowledge and spiritual knowledge.
有物质知识和灵性知识。
Material knowledge is concerned with simply satisfying our senses.
那物质的知识呢？它只是跟那个感官享乐有关。
But real knowledge, spiritual knowledge, is to understand matter as well as spirit.
那么真正的知识，灵性的知识，就是了解物质和灵，物与灵。
Lord Krishna describes that he is the knower in all bodies.
Krishna 在这里讲述了他是所有躯体的知者。
This is an important point to understand.
所以要了解这一点是非常重要的。
That we know about our own pain and pleasure.
我们只对自己的痛苦和快乐了解。
But we do not know much about the pains and pleasures of others.
但是我们不怎么了解别人的痛苦和快乐。
Sometimes a friend may come to us and tell us about their pains.
有的时候我们的朋友到我们面前来向我们倾诉他们的痛苦。
But we cannot really appreciate much of the pain or difficulty which they're experiencing.
但实际上我们并不能够真正的很了解他真正的痛苦。
We know about our own pain and our own pleasure.
我们都很了解自己的痛苦和快乐。
And we have a little appreciation, we can understand something about the pain or pleasures of others.
可能我们对别人的痛苦和快乐有一点点的了解。
But Krishna knows about the pain and pleasures of all living entities.
但是 Krishna 对所有生物的痛苦和快乐都非常了解。
Because Krishna is in the heart of every living entity.
因为 Krishna 在每一个生物体的心中。
We only know about our own bodily convenience, our own bodily pleasures, our bodily conditions.
我们只对自己的身体的状况，自己的身这跟这个自己的躯体有关的快乐了解。
But Krishna knows about every single living entity.
但是呢 ，Krishna 了解众生。
Because he's in the heart of everyone.
因为他在每一个众生，他在每一个生物体的心中。
So to understand.This body and the knower of this body, this is real knowledge.
所以对躯体和躯体的知者了解的了解被称为知识。
And remember, who are the knowers in the body? Who is the knower in the body?
那我们还记得吗？这个躯体的知者是谁
？Not just one, but there are two.
这个躯体的知者不仅仅是一个，而是两个。
There is the individual soul as well as the super soul.
也是个体灵魂和超灵。
The individual soul knows about our own individual pain and pleasure, and the super soul knows about each and every living entity.
个体灵魂只对个人的身体的痛苦和快乐了解，但是超灵对所有生物体的痛苦和快乐都了解。
So this is real knowledge.
所以这被称为真正的知识。
Now the Mayavadis, they will not accept this understanding.
那些 Mayavadi 他们不能够明白这一点，也不能够接受这一点。
The impersonalists, they will say that there is only one in the body.
那么这非人格主义者，他们只接受躯体只有一个，躯体当中的只有一个。
That one soul is in the heart of every living entity.
那么那些非人格主义者，他认为躯体当中只有一个灵魂存在。
They say that there is no individuality.
他们说，这些非人格主义人人格非人格主义人说，躯体当中没有个体灵魂。
That there's only this oneness.
他们说只有一个。
That we're all one.
我们都是一。
I am you, you are me.
我是你，你是我。
We're all one.
我们都是一个。
One time, one devotee.Was distributing books in the street.
有一次，有个奉献者在街上派书。
And so he met one young man who was trying to explain to him this philosophy.
那么他遇到一个年轻人，这个年轻人呢，试图向他解释他自己的哲学。
The man was insisting, "It's all one. We're all the same."
然后这个年轻人说，只有一个，我们都是一个。
So the devotee said, "All right." If it's all one, then give me your car keys. Give me the keys for your car.
然后这个奉献者说，好的，如果你说大家都是一样的，都是一个的话，那么你把你的这个汽车的钥匙给我吧。
And give me your wallet.
而且把你的这个钱包给我。
So the man, he was trying to say, all right, here, take.
然后这个年轻人说，好吧。
So everybody said, "Okay, thank you."
然后这个奉献者说，好，谢谢你。
Then he said, "Bye-bye, I'm going now."
然后奉献者说，再见，我走了。
And the man said, "But wait, give me back my. You have to give me back my car keys."
然后这个人说，哎，等等，你回来，你把那个汽车的钥匙给我。
But the devotee, no, it's all one. It's all the same.
然后奉献者说，不，大家都是一个，都是一样的。
But the man said, "But I have to go home. I have to get home. The Buddha said, it's all one, doesn't matter, you go home, you don't go home, it's all one.
然后那个奉献者说，你回不回家都是一样的。
So the devotee came back and he told Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, very good.
然后那个奉献者回到帕帕帕身边，帕帕帕说，你讲得太好了。
One time, these Mayavadis, they came to the temple in Vrindavan.
有一次呢，有一个非应格主义者，他们去文达文的庙。
And they commonly preach, it's all one.
然后他们去了庙里面就传播他们的这个一元论。
So the devotees were distributing Khichdi Prasadam. They were giving free food for the people.
那个时候呢，奉献者正在给人们派发 Prasadam， 那些 Khichdi 一种粥。
So the Mayavadi person sat down.
然后这个 Mayavadi 呢，他就坐下来。
So the devotee came and he gave him one grain of rice.
然后这个奉献者呢，就给了他一粒米。
And the man said, look, he said, why you give me so little? You give so much to all these other people. Why you give me only so little? The body said, it's all one. It's all the same. This is your philosophy. This is what you're teaching. He said, no, no, you have to give me, I have to eat.
这个玛雅巴迪说，你必须得多给我点，我得吃饭，我得吃，我饿了。
They cannot apply this philosophy.
所以呢，他们的哲学是不实用的，他们不能够应用他们的哲学。
The devotees were giving, in the winter, it was very cold, they were giving free blankets for all the sadhus.
他们在冬天的时候挺凉，然后奉献者呢，他们就是免费的去把这个毯子给那些圣人sadhu。
So when the Mayavadi man came, they gave him, they took one thread and they gave him one thread.
然后有一个玛雅巴迪来了，然后这个奉献者呢，就把这个毯子里的一根线抽出来给了这个玛雅巴迪。
He said, what? Does this will not keep me warm?
然后这个玛雅巴迪说，这怎么能保暖呢？
You're giving everybody a blanket, you only give me this. What is this? What kind of joke is this?
你给每个人都发毯子，怎么就给我一根线啊？你在开什么玩笑？
No, it's all one. It's all one. We don't. There's no difference.
啊，奉献者说，不都是一样吗？有什么区别？
So this is their impersonal Mayavadi teaching.
这不正是你们的非人格主义的教导吗？
But they talk like this, but they cannot apply this in their daily life.
所以呢，那些 Mayavadi 他们讲述他们的一元论，什么都是一。但是呢，他们不能够应用自己的哲学。
There is a difference. It's not all one.
所以呢，不是说什么都是一样的，有区别的。
There's a oneness in quality and a difference in quantity.
那么就是在质量上是一样的，但是在量上是不一样的，数量上是不一样的。
So, Bhagavad Gita here is teaching us the difference between the body and the knower. We have to understand the body and the knower of the field, the knower of this body.
所以呢，薄伽梵歌在这里教导了，什么是这个躯体，躯体的知悉者之间的区别。
Prabhupada gives some examples.
帕帕呢，他给出了一些例子。
It's very nice to understand the analogies which Prabhupada uses.
所以呢，我们在这里就可以看到帕帕帕他利用了什么样的知识去解释。
One example comes in the second or third paragraph there, where Prabhupada talks about the king is the original proprietor of the kingdom, and the citizens are the secondary proprietor.
那么在《薄伽梵歌》的这个章节的要旨里面，第二段里面，帕帕就给出了国王。这个王国的拥有者，以及这是他们，这是第一拥有者，还有从属的拥有者，就是他的那些百姓。
Yeah, the king is a proprietor. He is a proprietor of all the kingdom. Now, so in the kingdom, there are many citizens, and they may have their own houses.
那么这个国王呢是王国的拥有者，他拥有整个王国的财产， 而在这个王国当中呢，有各种各样的房子。
Just like in China, the China government are the supreme proprietor.
就是在中，就像在中国，中国政府它是首要的这个拥财产的拥有者。
But you may have your own house.
但是呢，你自己有自己的房子。
But ultimately, everything belongs to the government.
但是呢，终极来说，所有的这些房子都是属于政府的。
So in the same way, Krishna is the supreme proprietor.
所以呢，同样的 ，Krishna 他是至尊拥有者。
And he's the proprietor of all the living entities.
那 Krishna 是所有生物体的拥有者。
Of all the bodies.
他是 Krishna 是所有躯体的拥有者。
You know, we're thinking my body.
我们可以想，我们想，这是我的躯体。
We're thinking, you think also my family, my son, my children, my husband, like that, they have their bodies.
那么你会想，我的儿子，我的家人，我的丈夫，等等等等，还有他们，还有他们的。他们的儿子，他们的丈夫。
We're thinking their bodies are mine. I'm the proprietor.
我们就想，我的儿子，我丈夫，他们的躯体都是我的，是我的财产。
But we're not the supreme proprietor.
但是呢，我们不是至尊的拥有者。
That's Krishna is the supreme proprietor.
只有 Krishna 是至尊拥有者。
We have some, we can claim some, we have some claim, but we're not supreme.
我们呢，有一些财产。但是我们不是至尊的
Krishna,
至尊的财产的拥有者 Krishna 才是至尊的拥有者
Then Prabhupada gives another example he talks about in this second last paragraph he talks about one should not confuse the painterthe painting and the easel.
那么在啪啪在第二段的中间就又解释了，人不应该混淆画家画和画架。
So, material. Then, Prabhupada explains the material world, which is a field of activities, is nature. That there is nature. The enjoyer of nature is a living entity, and above them is the supreme controller.
那么帕帕在这里解释了说，这个物质世界是活动的场，也就是自然。自然的享受者是生物，在两者之上是至高无上的主宰，人格守神。
There are three properties: the painter, the painting, and the stand which the painting is on.
所以呢，帕帕在这里解释了说，有三种东西，一个是画家、画和画架。
In the same way, there is the material nature, the body, there is the knower in the body, and then there's the supreme knower.
那么同样的，这个物质自然就是活动的场。那么在这个活动的场当中，有灵魂享受者，生物。那么接着是至尊的知悉者。
So we say there are two knowers in the body.
所以呢，我们说在这个躯体里有两个知悉者。
There is the individual living entity and the supreme living entity.
那么一个就是个体灵魂，一个是超灵。
One is fallible and the other is not.
那么一个是追随者，另一个不是追随者。
Probably you can read that last paragraph in the purport. In this chapter, it will also be explained.The last paragraph, text 3.
Yeah. That in the Vedic scripture.
No.
That
in this chapter. Text 3.
第一章章节。
第一章章节是。
374。
370。
Two knowers.
这一章将解释在两识者中，知悉者中，一个会犯错误，另一个则永远不会犯错。一个是主，另一个是从属。把两个场地的知悉者理解为同一的，就违背了至尊跟守神的话语。他在这里很清楚的宣言：我也是活动场的使者。一个人不把绳子看成蛇，就是没有知识。躯体的种类不同，躯体的主人也不同，因为每个个体灵魂有支配物质自然的个别能力，所以有不同的躯体。然而至尊也以主宰的身份临在他们之内， 恰字很重要，因为它说明躯体的总数。这是圣 Paladeva Vidya Bhushana 的意见。 Krishna 是除了个体灵魂之外，灵在每一个躯体之内的超灵。 Krishna 在这里很明确地说，超灵既主宰物质场、活动场，超灵既主宰活动场，也主宰有限的享受者。我们继续讲第四节。现在请听我简单的描述这个活动场如何构成、有何变化、因何而来，还有场的使者和这位使者的影响。
Krishna is going to explain all of these things in this chapter.
Krishna 他在这一章里会解释所有这些事情。
He is going to describe the field of activities.
他会解释活动场。
What it is made up of.
这个活动场是怎么构成的？
What the changes of the field of activities are?
那么这个活动场它如何变化？有什么变化？
When it's produced?
它能够为它产生出什么？
And also about the knower of the field of activities.
那么也要解释这个场地的知悉者。
And what his influence is.
而且这个场地的知悉者的影响是什么？
Text 5.
第五章。关于活动场及活动之使者的知识，在不同的伟达典籍中，不同的圣人、不同的圣者各有所述，特别是在维丹塔苏彻中，对其中的因果关联进行了全面的论证。
In this verse, Lord Krishna refers to the Vedanta Sutra.
那么在这一世界当中， Krishna 特别的提到了维丹塔苏彻。
So this shows that Lord Krishna himself gives importance to scripture.
那么这可以说明 Krishna 本人就已经强调了这个维丹塔苏彻的重要性。
Lord Krishna is not saying just listen to me.
Krishna 没有说你只是听我的吧。
But he is saying you can see all that if you read the scriptures like Vedanta Sutra, you can also learn that what I'm saying is true.
那么Krishna 在这里还说到了，如果你去读像维丹塔苏彻这样的经典，你就会去了解我所说的一切。
It's described by great sages in their writings.
所以呢，他说到了，通过这个著作维丹塔苏彻，在不同的伟达经里面，不同的圣人他们各有所述。
So in Krishna consciousness.
所以在 Krishna 知觉中，
we should always understand everything not simply based on one point of view.
所以呢，我们在 Krishna 知觉当中，我们应该去了解到，不是基于某一个观点。
We don't just say only scriptures.
我们不能够说只有读经典，只有经典。
Neither do we say only guru.
或者说不能这么说，只有孤鲁灵性导师。
And nor do we say.The scriptures say, and my guru says it, but the holy men don't say it.
而且我们也不能这么说，经典说了，灵性导师说了，而不提到那些伟大的那些圣人们，先前的那些圣人们说的。
No, they didn't say it. The holy men didn't say it. The guru says it, and the scriptures say it, but the holy men don't say it.
哦，是这样的，刚才我翻译错了，就是我们。不能这么说，灵性导师说了，那个经典说了，但是圣人没这么说，不能这么说。
If it's like that, then there's a problem.
如果这么说的话，肯定会有问题。
If guru says something and it doesn't agree with all the holy men, the holy sages or the scriptures, then there's a problem.
如果灵性导师说了什么，但是他说的呢，跟那些伟大的那些圣人们还有经典说的不一致，那么肯定会有问题。
All three have to say the same thing.
必须是要经典、灵性导师还有那些圣人们、sadhu 他们说的话都是一样的。
If I'm saying something, and the other sages, other great devotees are saying something else, there's a problem.
如果我说这个，其他的奉献者说别的，那肯定是有问题的。
Everybody should agree: the sadhu, the holy man, the guru, and the scripture.
所以呢，每一个人都应该就是要认同灵性导师说的、萨度圣人们说的，还有经典说的。
We cannot just simply say, I blindly follow my guru.
我们不能够说我盲目的追随我的灵性导师。
That will be very dangerous.
那么如果这样的话，肯定很危险。
And even if you say, well, my guru is always teaching scripture, so nothing wrong.
那如果你说我的灵性导师总是在讲经典所讲述的，不会有错。
Why?
为什么？
If the guru says something and he says it on the basis of scriptures,
要如果说如果灵性导师说了，而且他的话是基于经典的。
But other sages, other teachers say no.
但是呢，如果其他的圣人、其他的老师说不
，That's a problem.
那么这就会有问题。
Because we can take the scripture, we can take the books, the holy books, and we can put our own meaning into them.
那么因为呢，是因为我们可以引述经典里的话，但是呢，却加入了自己的观点。
If you just simply follow only guru and scripture and not sadhu, not the other man, it's a problem.
如果你只是去追随经典，只是追随灵性导师，而不追随那些圣人们的话，就会有问题。
And if you follow the holy man and the scripture and not guru, then that's also a problem.
如果你只是追随圣人，追随经典，而不追随灵性导师，也会有问题。
You have to have all three say the same.
你必须要同时接受追随这三样灵性导师萨杜和经典、
We say sadhu, shastra, guru. Sadhu, holy man, shastra, scripture, and guru, teacher.
那么就是说有三个必须追随的，一个是萨杜、圣人、guru, 灵性导师 shastra 和经典，这三样都是要同时追随的。
If you just simply read the books, some people say, I'm reading the books, I'm reading Prabhupada's books.
那么如果只是一味的读经典，有些人说我就读帕帕的书籍。
We know there are some people like that. They say, well, I'm just reading the books. I don't want to meet the other people. I don't want to meet the guru. I just want to read Prabhupada's books.
有这样的人存在的，他们说我只想去读帕帕的书，我不想去见灵性导师或其他的人。
Then they can put their own meaning into the book.
那么像这样的人呢，他们会去对这些经典加上个人的解释。
Just like if someone wants to be a doctor, they will say, I'm not going to go to medical college. I will just read the books on my own.
那么就像是一个人他想成为医生，但是他说我不想去读那些医学院，我就通过读书就可以当医生。
Then they cannot be a doctor.
这样的人他肯定不能够成为医生的。
They have to be trained by the doctor.
他必须要得到那些医生的训练。
As well as read the books.
而且还有通过这个书籍的训练，通过书籍当中得到训练。
So these three authorities are very important.
所以呢，这三个权威是非常重要的。
If you have only two, then it's a problem.
要如果你只追随其中的两个权威，肯定会有问题。
Or if you have only one, that's a bigger problem.
如果你只是追随其中的一个权威，那问题就更大了。
Some people say, I have my guru, I don't need anything else.
有人说，我有我的灵性导师，其他的我就不想要了。
Oh, well, what is your guru teaching?
那你的灵性导师教导你什么了？
Does he not teach any scripture?
难道他不教导，他不教授你经典吗？
Yeah, what scripture? He has to teach some scripture.
那么灵性导师他肯定是要教授经典的。
Somebody said, "No, no, my guru, he himself, he will speak scripture."
那样的人说，不，我的灵性导师他会说他自己的这个经典。
What kind of scripture is that? That's not scripture.
那他讲述的是什么经典
？Even Krishna is saying here. Krishna is saying, he is teaching on the basis of what is taught.In the scripture.
那么甚至 Krishna 就在这个世界里面就说了，他所教授的都是基于经典的知识。
He is referring to Vedanta Sutra.
他在这里特别的指出了 Vedanta Sutra.
And he said this is taught also by the great sages.
而且他还说到了，这些经典也是由那些不同的圣人他们讲述的。
He's not saying, just forget everything, listen to me.
他没有说其他的你就别管了，就听我说吧。Krishna 没有这么说。
Even though Krishna is God and He's the supreme personality of God, He is referring to Scripture.
甚至 Krishna 他即便他是至尊歌手神，但是他在这里也特别指出了经典。
And He's telling also the opinion of the other great sages.
而且他也说到了其他的那些圣人他们的意见。
So this is very important to understand.
所以要了解这一点是非常重要的。
That we see in the Bhagavad Gita that Lord Krishna also refers to other scriptures.
所以在《博迦梵歌》里 ，Krishna 也讲述了，特别指出了其他的经典。
Vedanta Sutra is written by Vyasadeva.
Vedanta Sutra 是由 Vyasadeva 撰著的。
And it is full of the philosophy of logic.
而且呢，维丹的书上里面充满了逻辑的知识。
People who are interested in religion should not just be only concerned with ritual.
啊，就是那些对宗教感兴趣的人，他们不应该仅仅拘泥于仪式，祭祀仪式。
If we just do ritual and you just come to temple, offer incense, bow down.
如果你只是距离于这些仪式，你去到庙里给供奉香，然后顶拜
，ring the bell，
然后摇铃
，and go around the temple，
然后就是绕拜那个庙宇
，put some money in the box，
然后把一些钱放在这个捐赠盒子里。
This is ritual。
这是一种仪式。
You don't know anything。
你除了这个仪式，你不了解其他的。
Why you ring the bell？
为什么要敲铃
？Everyone does it.
因为每个人都这么做。
I'm doing the same as everybody else.
我只是做每个人他们做的事情。
Why you bow down?
为什么你要顶拜
？Oh, everybody does it. We also do.
因为其他人都这么做，所以我就跟着做。
But why you do it?
但是你为什么这么做呢
？Don't ask me all the questions.
别这么问，不要问这样的问题。
This is blind following.
那么这样的人就是盲目的追随者。
In Krishna consciousness, we do not want people just to be blind followers.
那么在 Krishna 知觉当中，我们不希望别人成为一个盲目的追随者。
We want people to understand properly why we do things.
我们应该让人们去明白，很恰当的明白为什么要做这样的事情。
If you just have religion without philosophy, that is sin.
如果你没有知识。而只是有宗教而却没有知识的话，那么这就是感情用事。
And if you simply have philosophy without religion, this is speculation.
如果只有知识而没有宗教的话，这就是轻质推敲。
There should be the combination.
那么这两者知识和宗教必须要结合起来。
When there's the perfect philosophy, then it will bring us.To the proper understanding of life.
那么，当一个人拥有了恰当的哲学，那么就会把它引向恰当的目标。
So the Vedanta Sutra is written by Srila Vyasadeva.
所以 ，Vedanta Sutra 是由 Sri Vyasadeva 撰写的。
Srila Vyasadeva is in our line of the cyclic succession.
那么 ，Sri Vyasadeva 就在是我们使徒传系当中的一位导师。
He is presenting the philosophy of Vedanta.
那么他向我们呈现了维丹他的哲学。
And to explain this philosophy of Vedanta, Srila Vyasadeva himself also wrote the commentary on Vedanta in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
那么为了解释维丹他的哲学，维丹他的知识的哲学 ，Sri Vyasadeva 他就撰写了维丹他 Sutra 的这个论评述。那么这个评述呢，就是以 Srimad Bhagavatam 的形式呈现出来的。
So Lord Krishna is telling Arjuna that to understand about the body, the field of activities, and the knower of activities, we can refer to scripture.
那么在这里 ，Krishna 就回答了 Arjuna 的问题，说要想了解场和场地的知悉者，就。而且特别是要读这个维丹的苏传经典。
Lord Krishna is not saying just only listen to me and forget everybody else.
那么 Krishna 没有在这里说你只是听我讲、把其不管其他人说了什么。
He's supporting himself with evidence.
那么他呢是用证据来支撑了自己的说自己说的话。
Right. So then take the next section, text 6 and 7, go on to describe about, first of all, about the body, the field of activities.
那么第六十节和第六七十节呢就解释了这个物质躯体场解释了这个场
Yeah, we said this body is described as a field of activities.
我们已经了解到了这个躯体被称为是活动场
What is it made up of?
那么这个活动场是由什么构成的呢
Krishna, he lists all the different elements.
那么 Krishna 在这里罗列了所有其中的元素
First of all, he says,The five great elements.
首先 Krishna 说了五大元素
This means earth, water, fire, air, and ether.
那这五大元素就是指的土、水、火、空气、以太
These are the five elements. Within the body, these different elements are there.
那么这就是这个躯体构成这个 物质躯体的五大元素在这个五大在这个躯体当中就有这五大元素存在
We have some water, we have some air, there's some fire in the belly.
那么在这个躯体里面有水有土在这个肚子里还有火。
So these five elements make up something of the field.
所以呢这五大元素呢是构成这个躯体的元素之一。
But then there are other things also.
还有其他的。
We have false ego.
我们有假自我。
And intelligence.
自信。
The unmanifest
和未展示者
Then the ten senses
十个感官
What? Why ten senses? We usually think only five senses But here Krishna says ten senses
怎么会有十个感官呢我们一般都说五个感官但是 Krishna 在这里却说了十个感官这十个感官是什么
Prabhupada explains there are five knowledge acquiring senses and five working senses
他解释说有十个摄取知识获取知识的感官还有十个活动的感官工作的感官
The five knowledge acquiring senses are the eyes, the nose, the tongue, the ear, and the skin
那么帕帕说了五个获取知识的感官就是眼睛、耳朵、鼻、舌头还有皮肤
Then there are the five working senses
那五个工作感官是什么呢
They are The voice,
那就是声音
the legs,
腿
hands,
手
then the evacuating organ and the reproductive organ.
那就是肛门还有生殖器
These are working senses.
这就是五个活动感官
This is the ten senses.
所以一共有十个感官
And then there is also the mind.
啊，还有心意
The mind is like the 11th
那么这个
The 11th
哦就那个心意就像是大象一样、
no.
哎、不这十一个
十一个
感官那么心意是被称为第十一个感官
The mind because the mind is next to it's directing the senses it's under the it should be under the control of the intelligence
那么心意呢它就是控制着这个感官怎么样去主导感官所以心意呢必须要在智性的控制之下
Then there are five objects of the senses the five sense objects
那接下来有五个感官对象
meaning sight, sound, taste, touch, and smell
那就是说是嗅、味、形、触、声这五个感官对象
These are the objects of the senses.
那么这五个就是感官对象。
So there's a gross body and the subtle body.
所以呢，有粗糙躯体和精微躯体。
The subtle body means the mind, the intelligence, and the ego.
那么精微躯体指的就是心意、智性和假自我。
They're also part of that field of activity.
那么也他们也是活动场的一部分。
So it's designed up to make 24 elements.
那么在这里呢，就是一共讲了二十四个元素。
They're all part of the field of activities, this body.
所以这二十四种元素都是这个活动场的一部分。
Then there text 7 describes the activities of the mind, the symptoms of the mind.
那么第七十节呢，讲述了这个心意的活动。
Such as it's mentioned as a desire, hatred.
这里就讲的是有欲望、憎恨、
happiness、
快乐、
distress、
苦恼、
the aggregate、
聚合、
the life symptoms、
生命的征候、
and conviction、
还有确信。
These are all different feelings from the mind.
这些呢都是心意的感受。
We will learn more about when you study Srimad Bhagavatam. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's much more detailed study given about these different elements.
那么如果我们去阅读博迦瓦坦的第三篇，那博迦瓦坦的第三篇呢，就对这些元素都有非常详细的解释和描述。
In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is just simply giving a basic introduction to these things.
那么在《博迦梵歌》里 ，Krishna 只是对这些元素做了一个基本的解释。
But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you can read how each element is created and how they're produced in the course of creation.
那么在《博迦瓦坛》里面，我们可以去了解到，所以这些元素是怎样在宇宙当中被创造出来、被产生出来的。
But note that there are 24 elements within the field of activity.
那么在这个活动和活动场，它有二十四种元素。
But there are gross as well as subtle elements.
有既有粗糙的元素，也有精微的元素。
And understand something of the different feelings, expressions, symptoms which come from the mind.
然后这里也描述了从心意里来的各种各样的感受和征候。
So Lord Krishna in this way has described the field of activities.
所以呢 ，Krishna 就以这样的方式解释了活动场。
This chapter of Bhagavad Gita is one of the more difficult chapters to understand.
那么第十三章呢，是博迦梵歌当中。很难理解的一个章节之一。
It's quite technical.
因为它非常的具有技术性。
Going to explain things which are not so easy for us to grasp.
那么，这些讲述呢，对于我们来说理解是比较困难的。
But if we take it step by step, then I think you can understand.
但是如果我们一步一步的去接受它的话。就会比较容易理解了。
Now the next section covers 5 verses.
那么第下一个诗节呢，一共讲了五个诗节。
And it deals with the process of knowledge.
它讲述的就是知识的程序。
How do we? What do we need to do? What is the method by which we get this knowledge?
我们要去得到这样的知识，应该采取什么样的方式呢？
Lord Krishna is listing the different items, the qualifications necessary to acquire knowledge.
那么 Krishna 就在这里罗列了，要想去得到这些知识，应该具有的资格和品质。
The very first items, the first two items, very important.
那么其中的前两个是非常重要的两点。
Amanitvam adambitvam. Lord Krishna says humility.And pridelessness.
那 Krishna 在这里说到了头两个，一个是谦卑，一个是骄傲。
You know, if we were to go to the universities and try to teach the students, we will find it very difficult to give them this knowledge. Because they don't have this quality of pridelessness and humility.
因为那些学生不具备谦卑和骄傲的品质。
But generally people going into university and higher studies become very proud of their learning.
因为那些上大学还有那些高等学院的那些学生，他们因为自己拥有一些知识，所以比较骄傲，很骄傲。
We're thinking I'm very great.
他们认为自己很伟大，是个大人物。
That education to give people humility and pridelessness, to make them without pride, that education is nowhere in the world. There's no place where you get that education
nowadays.
But these are the first things necessary in developing knowledge.
谦卑和骄傲是培养知识最基本的两点，最重要的两点。
In order to make progress in spiritual life, we have to give up that false ego.
所以呢，我们要想去灵修，我们必须要放弃自己的假自我。
We have to think, I do not know anything.
我们应该想。 我一无所知。
We have to think I'm unqualified.
我应该想我没有资格。
If we're thinking I'm qualified, that's not humble.
如果你认为自己很有资格的话，那么就不谦卑。
So we're learning the process of acquiring transcendental knowledge.
所以呢，就是我们需要去了解，超然知识的方法，获得超然知识的方法是什么。
The first step is we must be humble. And give up our pride. If we think I know everything. If we think I'm very special. Then we cannot understand. Then we're disqualified.
那么我们就是不具资格的。
We have to remember our spiritual position.
我们应该去记忆我们的灵性的地位。
That we are tiny souls struggling in the material world.
我们是渺小的灵魂，我们在这个物质世界里挣扎求存。
So there are, I think, 18 different items of knowledge listed here.
你在这里描述了18个品质。
Oh, 20 items of knowledge.
20个，在这里描述了20个品质。
So then after humility and pridelessness, then the next quality is non-violence.
那么接着谦卑和骄傲，下面的品质就是非暴力。
Non-violence does not simply mean we should not kill anything.
那非暴力并不意味着我们不应该杀生。
Prabhupada explains non-violence means we should not put anyone into distress.
那帕帕在要旨里解释了非暴力，非暴力说我们不应该把其他生物体置于痛苦之中。
And this means we should give people spiritual knowledge.
那也就是说我们应该给予人们灵性的知识。
We should try our best to distribute real knowledge.
我们应该尽我们最大的努力去传播灵性的知识，真正的知识。
The next quality is tolerance.
那接下来的后面的品质就是容忍。
In practicing spiritual life, we may be insulted by others. In practicing some spiritual path, people may insult us. We should not expect to be honored. We have to be tolerant, tolerant like the tree, Lord Chaitanya taught.
在这种情况下，我们应该容忍。主切特尼亚说，应该像大树一样容忍。
The next quality is simplicity.
接下来的品质是淳朴。
That means that simplicity means that we will speak the truth even to an enemy.
那淳朴就意味着我们应该讲实话，甚至向敌人也应该吐露真情。
But we will be able to speak the truth in a manner which is pleasing and acceptable.
但是呢，我们应该以这种，遇人悦人的方式去向别人讲述真话，讲述真理。
Next quality is to accept a spiritual master.
那下一个品质就是要接受灵性导师。
Prabhupada says this is essential.
帕帕说这是至关重要的。
That everyone needs a spiritual master.
每个人都需要灵性导师。
Spiritual master is not somebody who you don't who left the world many years ago you never met. When you accept a spiritual master, it means that.It should be a living person. It should not be somebody who already left the world.
那么灵性导师就意味着这个人必须是在世的，而不是说他是已经离开这个世界的那个人。
Cleanliness.
下面提到的洁净、清洁
means by regularly bathing and also by chanting.
那么清洁就意味着应该经常的沐浴，应该有规律的念诵。
Chanting will clean the heart.
那么这就是唱诵呢，会洁净我们的内心。
We should be steady in our practice.
我们应该稳定的修行，灵修。
We have to be determined to do these things. We have to do them every day.
我们应该下定决心，每天都这么做。
Every day we have to chant. Every day we have to follow principles.
我们每天都应该唱诵，每天都应该追随原则。
We have to be steady in this practice.
所以我们必须要特别坚定的灵修。
Then self-control.
第二个就是自制，下面讲述了自制。
That means we have to give up some certain things which are not good for spiritual advancement.
那也就是说，我们应该去放弃、摒弃一些对灵修不利的东西。
Sometimes we are attached to certain things which are not good for spiritual advancement.
有的时候呢，我们对一些灵修不利的东西非常依附。
Sometimes people keep little dogs.
Dogs. 但有的时候，有人们养狗。
No, they're attached to the dog more than they get attached to Krishna.
他们依附狗比依附 Krishna 更依附。
We have to be willing to renounce sense objects.
那么我们应该自愿的去弃绝这种感官享乐。
And we have to get rid of our false ego.
而且也应该摒除我们的假自我。
Remembering that I'm not the body, but I'm a servant of Krishna.
应该始终记着，我不是这个躯体，我是 Krishna 永恒的仆人。
We have to hear about the evil, we have to hear about the problems of old birth, old age, disease, and death.
我们必须要
The problems of old age, disease, and death.
我们应该要想到这种生死、病、老年这些问题。
Yeah.So we have to hear about these things to understand the miseries of these things.
所以呢，我们必须要就是理解这些东西，应该去了解这些东西带来的痛苦。
We have our own experiences of them.
我们呢，只有自己对这些东西有切身的体会。
But still, you have to hear about them also from the scriptures.
而且我们也应该聆听到这些知识都是来源于经典的。
Then they explain very clearly what is this, what is it like.Take birth again.
所以呢，我们就能够清楚地了解到，有什么必要再去投生。
The next item is detachment.
那下一个就讲述了弃绝。
We should be willing to give up, to sacrifice everything for Krishna.
我们必须要自愿的放弃一切，为 Krishna 牺牲一切。
Next item is no entanglement with wife, children, etc.
那么下一个又讲述了对家人不受妻儿、家庭、孩子等等的忌盼。
Prabhupada explains that it is natural to be affectionate for our family members.
帕帕说对家庭、对家庭成员的这种爱是非常自然的。
But if the relationship is not good for spiritual advancement, then we may have to give it up.
如果这种关系对家庭关系对我们的灵修不利的话，对我们的灵修的进程不利的话，就应该摒弃。
People are against your spiritual practice, then you may have to give up.
那如果人们就是家里人反对你修习 Krishna 之觉灵修的话，就得放弃跟他们的这种家庭。
The next quality is even-mindedness.
那还有一个就是，还有坏事的心。
Even-minded, to be
mindless,
to keep the mind steady.
要心平气和。
Means you don't become, you don't rejoice in great success, neither do you lament in a big loss. You keep the mind steady.
那也就是说，无论你遭遇成功，无论你是快乐还是痛苦，无论你是成功还是失败，你都会心都得让心意平静下来，这就被称为心平气和。
Then you have to.Also engage in the nine processes of devotional service.
那么，而且呢，应该去从事九项奉献服务。
We may like to try to avoid associating with materialistic people and live in the association of devotees.
我们应该尽可能的去避免和那些物质主义者。跟他们打交道，和奉献者生活在一起。
We should always appreciate the importance of self-realization.
我们也应该去理解觉悟自我的重要性。
Avoiding things like going to cinemas, social activities, wasting time.
我们也应该避免去一些这种社交场合，不要浪费时间。
We want to use our time for Krishna.
我们应该把我们的时间用在 Krishna 身上。
And then finally, one should carry out some philosophical search for the absolute truth.
那么最后的一个就是用哲学研究探求绝对真理。
Give up useless things, useless philosophies.
要放弃那些无用的哲学。
So, we can understand how much we're progressing in spiritual life by how much we're cultivating these qualities.
所以呢，我们可以通过就是我们在多大程度上去培养了这些资格，就能够在多大程度上就能够知道自己在灵修上取得了多大的进展。
Yeah, you can go through each of these items and consider which ones are you good at and which ones are you bad at.
通过就是看这些品质，你可以检查自己在哪些方面做得好，自己在哪些方面做得不好。
You can assess your own progress.
这样呢，你就能够找出自己的问题。
Are there any questions?
有什么问题吗？
These different items, we should study them regularly and think which ones we need to cultivate more.
那么这些品质呢，我们应该经常的去学习，应该要知道自己在哪些方面应该更加强的培养这些品质。
Even if you're friendly with someone, you can sit with a friend and you can ask them, which ones do you think I'm bad at? What ones, you know, if somebody knows you well, then they can point out maybe what's your weakness, because we don't like to admit ourselves.
因为那如果你跟朋友在一起，跟他坐在一起的时候，你可以问他是哪里是我做的不好的，或者是我的弱点。因为往往有人他们不会承认自己的弱点，他们会展示自己的强点。
And I hope they'll still remain your friend afterwards.
当然就是关于这样向他咨询以后，咨询之后，你仍然他仍然还是你的朋友。
你先说你第十三呢，是不要放歌还是不要放歌？
啊？
第十三呢？
不是学习的国家梵歌吗？
接受这个聆听，是再进一步的指导。
So if the spiritual master departs, then you have to take shelter of someone else. We always need association.
如果你就是这个灵性导师离开了这个物质隐迹了，那么我们可以求庇于其他的人，这样因为我们也需要联谊。
You don't take initiation again.
但你不就是不应该再从其他人那里再得到启迪。
But you complete, you study more.
但是呢，也能够去完整的你的学习。
And he should help you to keep your faith in your initiating spiritual master.
而且那样的人，就是你所求庇的那位，那其他的人呢，应该让你始终保持对自己启迪灵性导师强烈的信心。
We need many spiritual masters.
我们需要许多灵性导师。
Because how people won't stay, maybe they won't stay here. Kamal Krishna Maharaj hardly ever stayed here in China. Even when he was on the planet, he was not much in China.
就像 Kamal Krishna Goswami Gurudev, 他即使是在世的时候，在这个宇宙上的时候，他也很少来到中国。他在中国待了多长时间？
So his devotees need people to guide them.
所以呢，那么人们就是奉献者呢，需要别其他人的指导。
To take shelter of senior devotees and train with them, learn from them.
所以呢，我们需要有和求庇于我们需要求庇于年长的奉献者，从他们那里得到知识、得到训练和指导。
那就是说，这个启迪的灵性导师是唯一的。
对。Yeah.
然后
就一个启迪。
嗯，对。但是，比方说，就是说，当你启迪的时候，比方说你不知道好多的事情。你觉得这个咕噜可能就是你想追随的哈，那么后来你又发现有更合适你自己的那个咕噜，你可以 change， 就是那个不可以重新选择吗？
If first do you choose, for example, a devotee already choose the Diksha Guru, but later on he find out another guru more suitable for him. So can he change the initiation?
No.
他不能够改变这个。
But you can take instruction.
但是你可以向那个灵性导师，向他得到指导，得到这个教诲。
But you only take initiation one time.
但是你只得到就是你的启迪灵性导师只有一个。
But you can go and take instruction from many people.
但是你可以从很多其他的灵性导师那里得到训示。
那我们应该怎么选灵性导师呢？就是我们应该选。
So what's the standard of choosing spiritual master?
Well, you have to study the scriptures more and learn.
然后就必须要很好的去学习经典，去了解这一点。
And you have to meet more spiritual masters to understand which one is helping you most.
而且要就是要去见许多灵性导师，然后选择哪一个灵性导师更适合你。
Which one is giving you the most faith?
哪一个灵性导师能够更让你具有这种信心？
No, that each spiritual master has the same standard in Krishna consciousness. It's the same standard.
每一个灵性导在 Krishna 知觉当中，每一个灵性导师都有一个同一个标准。
刚才说那个那个
Prabhupada
Maharaj是不同的土地可以长出不同的庄稼。那么我们年轻的时候是属于躯体还是灵魂？不同的躯体还是不同的灵魂？就是刚才说你那不同的那个土地会装成不同的那个，就是不同的品质。那么我们在灵修的时候，人也是有不同的品质。那么指的是躯体还是躯体里面的灵魂？
Yes, that different land and can produce different crops. So, in the same way, in a spiritual way, so according to the different qualities, the practice depends on the qualities of the soul or the body.
Well, the soul will carry with it different qualities. The soul will carry the subtle body with the soul.
那么这个灵魂呢，会带着这个精微的躯体走。 它有各种各样的品质。
And that's that mind, the subtle body has different qualities, desires.
那么这个精微的躯体呢，它有不同的品质，它有心意。
And that will influence the body.
那么这些品质呢，会影响这个躯体，影响心意。
According to our qualification, we get a particular body. That qualification is determined by the subtle body.
那么根据不同的品质呢，我们会得到不同的躯体，而这个品质呢，是取决于我们的精微的躯体。
Our desire, our lust, our greed.
或者是我们的欲望，我们的色欲，我们的贪婪。
那就跟灵魂没关系。
No. No. 跟灵魂没关系。Well, it depends if they were, when they were working for Krishna, if they were in full Krishna consciousness, then they can go back to Godhead.
如果他们为 Krishna 工作，为 Krishna 就是培养这个 Krishna 知觉的话，那么他会回归守神。
If they're, you know, Krishna said, one who remembers me at that time of death, then he will come to me.
那 Krishna 说了，当一个人死亡的时候，他想着我，他就会到达我这里。
In proportion to how much they were thinking of Krishna and surrender to Krishna, then they get that result.
那么这个就是根据一个人臣服归于 Krishna 的程度，根据一个人记忆 Krishna 的这个程度，他会得到相应的结果。
有一个奉献者，他是有钱的
He got a serious sick. So when he was sick, he forgot Krishna. Didn't remember of Krishna. After he is recovered, and then he very regret that why I didn't remember Krishna when I was sick.
So this is something we have to practice, that even when we're in distress, in times of illness and like that, that we, even then we can remember Krishna.
所以呢，即使是说，即使是我们在非常痛苦的时候，我们也这也是很实际的一个情况，在痛苦的时候，我们也应该去想着 Krishna.
We have to practice now.
这是需要练习的，所以我们现在正在做这样的练习。在痛苦的时候去想着 Krishna.
Because certainly at the time of death, it's not easy to think of Krishna.
因为实际上真的是在死亡的时候要想记起 Krishna 是不容易做到的。
If a little illness, we get a little illness, we forget Krishna, then it will be very hard to think of Krishna at the time of death.
那么如果我们很少想起 Krishna 的话，那在死亡的时候你肯定很难记起 Krishna。
So we're practicing, we have to train ourselves to remember Krishna all the time.
所以呢，我们必须要做练习，我们应该训练自己，在任何情况下，在任何时候都想着 Krishna.
Some people say in distress they can remember Krishna, but when there's no distress and they're happy, they forget Krishna.
那有些人说痛苦能够让人想起 Krishna, 但是没有痛苦，当他快乐的时候，这个快乐会让他忘记 Krishna.
But we have to remember Krishna both happiness and distress.
但是无论我们快乐还是痛苦，都应该想着 Krishna。
还有，如果就是一个进入属猪禅系的人，比如起鼻的人，如果他走了，不修行了，那他对咕噜是有冒犯，因为他发过誓啊。
He just left it.
Left after initiation.
Well, he has free will.
他有自己的自由意愿。
Yeah, we cannot force people that they have to stay in Krishna consciousness.
我们也不能够逼迫，就是不能够强迫他待在 Krishna 知觉当中。
Of course, he's gone back to material life.
当然，他肯定是重返那些物质的活动、物质的生活。
So his spiritual practice is finished.
所以呢，那么他的这个灵性的修行呢，就现在告一段落了。
No, there's no offense to the spiritual master's not affected because he just left. He's gone off.
那么灵性导师呢不会受到影响，他就是让他走了。
He has to take his own reactions.
他必须要为自己的那个行为负责，这样的奉献者。
像他这种情况，如果这样的话，那他下次的话还能接着这个他修行的这个层次再接着修吗
？And so, such devotee can continue his devotional service on such grade.
Well, we have to see. It's up to him. He has free will.
那这是他的自由愿意愿。如果他愿意的话，他可以继续他的灵修。
You have that free will. They come in, they want initiation. If they want to stop practicing, then that's up their choice.
人们有他们的自由意愿。他进入休息库什纳之觉，然后得到启迪以后，过了一段时间，他就不休息库什纳之觉，然后离开了，是他的自由意愿。
It's not good.
当然这样做不好。
They made a vow, they made a promise, they didn't keep it.
他们发下誓言了，他们发下成许下诺言了，但是呢，却没有遵守誓言。
不影响他的以后的修行。
So this action affects his practice in the future or not?
We have to see.
我们得看。
That is where there's no air. When you take away the air, that's what's left.
那就是把这个空气全都抽出来，这种状态就被称为仪态。
真空。我有一个问题，就是经典里面说了，就是凡是要 Krishna 先看到了，我们才能看到，是吧？经典里面有这样的说法。完了，那为什么他在痛苦的时候？他反而还想不起奎斯纳，是不是奎斯纳不让他想起
？No, it's you yourself.
就是你自己，
you、
你自己是这样。
The
你有你自己的选择，这取决于你。
Can't blame Krishna. Krishna doesn't force you to remember.
我们不能够去指责 Krishna. Krishna 他不会强迫我们去做什么事情。
Gives you free will.
他给了我们自由意志。
巴巴森。
How to understand the unmanifest and the first verse 6-7.
The unmanifest.
Yeah.
Well, how to understand it is not. That's how I can. You know, that's how it's described. The unmanifest. It's not manifest.
那就是不展，没有展示出来的。怎么解释这个未展示？
What does
unmanifest refer to?
Well, we'll think about it.
我会想想。
I'll have to look in the Bhagavatam and see what Prabhupada says.
他去看看那个找一找博加瓦坛，看帕帕在博加瓦坛里是怎么说的。
Yes, Subhadra.
那
得出的结论也会不同，那这三方面不统一又怎么办呢
？So he said that different devotees on a different level or have a different understanding about the scripture.
Yeah.
So how to keep them on the same standard?
Well, that's why guru is there as well as sadhus.
们有灵性导师，还有萨杜，
存在，
还有沙斯特经典。
We keep everybody follows. We follow the acharyas.
我们追随那些 acharya 圣哲。
Yeah, you have to follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. We don't try to go past the teaching of the acharya.
我们应该去追随那些 acharya 们，那些先前的灵性导师，而不应该越过他们的教导。
Everything is under the Srimad Bhagavatam is understood by studying the writings of the Acharyas.
那么博伽瓦坛呢？我们通过那些先前的 Acharya 们他们的著作去了解博伽瓦坛的要义。
In the same way, Bhagavad Gita, there are so many Acharyas have all written on the Bhagavad Gita.
同样的，有很多的 Acharya 们，他们对博伽Bhagavad Gita 撰写了很多的文章。我们也通过他们的著作去了解博伽梵歌。所以呢，这三个沙度，那么有这些沙度在，有灵性的导师在，沙斯特经典。
We have many gurus. All the acharyas, they also are gurus.
所以我们有很多灵性导师，他们都是 acharya， 他们都是灵性导师。
灵性导师跟那个圣人有什么区别啊？之间
？Yeah, there's only you only have one spiritual master, but there are many sadhus.
你只有一个灵性导师，但是有很多 sadhu 圣人。
Of course, actually, you can have well, you can have more than one spiritual. You have one initiating spiritual master, but you have other instructing spiritual masters, and the sadhus, you know, they can be many people.
就是你只有一个启迪的灵性导师，还有那些训示的灵性导师可以有很多，但是呢，有很多更多的人，他们会是圣人，圣人有更多。
Maybe are God brothers also.
可能你的灵性兄弟姐妹也是圣人，
<Other devotees.
S 1> 还有就是其他的奉献者，他们都是圣人。
Yeah.
我问您，就是说，比如说我们学习国家瓦坛或者学习这个帕帕德的书，那里面有很多梵文。
Is there any difference to read Sanskrit in the Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or not?
Well, there's spiritual potency in the Sanskrit.
那么在梵文里面有灵性的能量。
These are prayers. They're full of spiritual potency.
那么这都是一些祷文。它充满了灵性的能量。
These are the Bhagavad Gita is a direct word spoken by Krishna.
就像博伽梵歌是 Krishna 他和 Arjuna 之间的对话。
Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken by great sages like Sukadeva Goswami and Sukha Goswami.
那么 Srimad Bhagavatam 圣典博伽瓦坛是 Sukadeva Goswami 和 Sutta Goswami 他们两这些圣人们这两个圣人说的话。
So to recite them is very purifying.
所以呢，那就是吟诵这些梵文诗节呢，能够净化我们。
It creates a spiritual atmosphere.
它能够就是营造灵性的氛围。
And creates auspiciousness.
而且它能够营造吉祥的氛围。
那我不认识梵文怎么办？
They're studying, and they can understand why you cannot also read.
如果他们都能读，你为什么不能读？
啊？
不，他们灵性世界是什么样？刚才那什么问题？能回答的我回答，不能回答的你回答。
哦，灵性世界怎么样？太复杂了。
非常美好。
灵性 ，Well, the spiritual world is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge.
灵性世界是永恒的，充满知识和喜乐的。
不是跟你们讲
的，他的灵魂和意念的关系。
What's the relationship the soul and the remembrance? remember.
还有心理暗示，这三个连在一起了。
心理暗示。
对，他说灵魂和意念，还有心理暗示是什么样的关系？
心理暗示 ，as
心理暗示
psychological hint。
Well, Krishna says remembrance comes from him.
Krishna 说记忆和遗忘全都来自于他。
Coming from the super soul.
全记忆和遗忘全都来自于超灵。
Remembrance and forgetfulness, it's all coming from the
super. 他的年
记忆和遗忘全都来自于 Krishna.
我听明白了，按经典说的那个句，我听您，咱他还问了一个，您对 UFO 有什么看法？
What's your opinion about UFO?
对对对，要不他没完这个问题，他没完，他老追着我问。
Well, we believe in life in other planets.
我们当然相信在其他的星球上是有生物体存在的。
So we accept the existence of these things.
所以呢，我们必须要接受外星人的存在。
我们必须要接受外星人的存在，
因为在其他星球上有人有生物。
我们相信就是这个
其他星球上
有
生
物
体。
Okay, Haribo.
Shrila
Prabhupada
ki jai.